Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We want to turn now and look at what's going on with Senate Republicans' secret drafting of a new health care plan for the country. Mitch McConnell, Senate Majority Leader, wants a vote before the July 4th recess on a plan to answer what House Republicans have already passed, their own version of the bill. But Senate Republicans are not sharing what they're planning as the days tick down. You can join us at 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. Why are Senate Republicans making American health care policy in secret? What would you like to know as we get closer to a potential vote here? Here's a little sound. This is Republican Senator Orrin Hatch of Utah at a Senate Finance Committee last Thursday, coming under fire from, or really complaint, from Missouri Democratic Senator Claire McCaskill. And he's saying, look, we invited her here to talk about these things. And she points out what's, I guess, pretty clear that, in fact, there's not a real conversation going on. The deliberations are behind closed doors.
We've invited you to participate.
When you say that you're inviting us, and I heard you, Mr. Secretary, just say we'd love your support, for what? We don't even know. We have no idea what's being proposed. There's a group of guys in a back room somewhere that are making these decisions.
Well, that is kind of the deliberate path that's being taken here in the Senate. Still with us from Fairfax, Virginia, in this hour is Jennifer Rubin, conservative blogger for The Washington Post. She writes the Right Turn blog there. Joining us as well right now from Washington is Mary Agnes Carey, partnerships editor, senior correspondent, covering health care reform for Kaiser Health News. Mary Agnes Carey, welcome back to On Point.
Thanks for having me.
So what do we know about what's going on with Senate Republican planning for their, I guess, answer to the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare?
Well, as you noted, they are meeting behind closed doors. There's a working group of about 13, 14 Senate Republican members. They've been also going to their caucus at the policy lunches every Tuesday, talking to them about particular options. Senator McConnell, who you referenced before, told reporters yesterday, when we're ready, you'll see it. You'll have time to read it. It will go to the floor and action will be taken. But they are getting pressure because this is not going through what they call regular order, the committee process, where it would go to Senator Hatch's committee, Finance Committee, and other committees of jurisdiction in the Senate before it heads to the floor. They are skipping that in the interest of time, and they're working from a House. As we know, the House Republicans passed their version of this. The Senate is expected to change it significantly. But the fact that things haven't been made public, that there isn't a working draft, people haven't seen things, it's definitely putting pressure on the Republicans.
How does this compare or contrast with precedent when it comes to openness or closed doors on a legislation of this enormous scale, Mary Agnes?
It is not unusual for members to be behind closed doors trying to hammer out what they want to do. We saw it in the creation of the Medicare prescription drug law in 2003. We saw it. There were lots and lots of committee hearings on the Affordable Care Act when it was being drafted, and markups and floor action. But there were times, Max Baucus, for example, who was head of the Senate Finance Committee then, was trying to get Republicans to come on. They kept calling it the Gang of Six, and we spent hours in the hallway waiting for people to come out and talk to them. So usually it's a hybrid. Closed-door meetings, committee discussion and markups, floor action. The chambers, the Senate and the House, often pass different versions. You have an open conference, and there's lots of time. That's, again, what we call regular order to look and examine. But this is not where the Republicans in the Senate appear to be heading. The bill will come out before they go to the floor. There'll be lots of scrutiny, whether it matches Senate procedure. And, of course, the Congressional Budget Office, the official scorekeeper, will make their analysis of the bill known.
I mean, you say lots of scrutiny, but the July 4th recess is just around the corner now. Here we are. It's the middle of June. Can there really be lots of scrutiny? I recall months and months, was it a year plus, of the Affordable Care Act being?
Exactly.
That's quite a different timetable.
It is. I think there's a couple of things. Number one, the timetable, I think, is going to slip. I don't think the Senate is going to pass something before the July 4th break. They're starting to sort of make nods to that and murmurs. Anything can happen, of course, at any time. This is the Senate. But now the thought is perhaps this would slip beyond the July 4th break, and they'll be looking to try to pass something at the end of July. So that seems to be where things are going.
Maybe a little
and
more
as you
time.
Noted, oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Just a little more time to talk about. I wanted to get Mitch McConnell in here, his voice anyway, saying, you know, look, it's coming. Near future. Here was McConnell.
We're getting closer to having a proposal that we'll be bringing up in the near future. I'm not going to go into the various component parts of the health bill. We believe we can do better than the status quo. We don't think you can have the status quo. It's unsustainable.
Unsustainable, but near future, but not talking about what's in there. Very close-lipped. You've got President Obama's former head of Medicare saying that the GOP is using sabotage, speed, and secrecy to pass an Obamacare repeal. Jennifer Rubin is with us from the Washington Post. Jennifer, headline on your recent column was, a party afraid of doing its job in plain view. Is it fear, or is this just a tight timetable and difficult politics and better to hammer it out in private and then, you know, roll it out for the whole country to observe in its glory?
Well, if time were the only issue, that would be one thing. But obviously, they put an artificial time limit on themselves. There's no reason why it has to be done by July. As you correctly identified, we had a process of 11 months, numerous hearings. The president traveled around the country talking about the details of health care. We had that very famous hearing where Republicans got to question the president in a sort of summit setting. None of that has gone on here because I think there's a fundamental problem, and that is the Republicans cannot agree amongst themselves. There's relatively little that, for example, Ted Cruz and Susan Collins share when it comes to health care. And I think meeting in private is one way of sort of disguising this fundamental divide. I don't know that a bill is ever going to come out of the Senate, let alone be agreed to by the House. We saw a little bit of that in the House side, and they eventually just threw in the towel, voted on whatever they had there, and pushed it over to the Senate. Ironically, the president, who held a celebratory event in the Rose Garden, has now called that health care bill that the House struggled to come up with mean. So that's not a great incentive for Republicans to go out on a limb if the president of the United States is going to turn around and stab you in the back when it turns out that what you've put out there is a bunch of junk. So I think the problem is the Republicans are divided. They don't know what they want to offer. What the president talked about is not achievable. A health care bill that does not require taxes, that covers everyone, that's cheaper, that's better. This monster or this fantasy doesn't really exist. And third of all, their general approach is not one that the American people favor. American people, and this is including Republicans, overwhelmingly oppose cuts to Medicaid. They overwhelmingly oppose a rollback on the minimum list of benefits that are afforded. So I think their idea of what improvement would be doesn't jive with what the American people want. And so they're stuck. They're trapped. And they do what politicians do when they're trapped, and that is they go to ground. They go into hiding. And I think they've got a mess on their hands. And I would not be surprised, I've sort of predicted this all along, that the Republicans will never come up with a bill to, quote, repeal and replace Obamacare. And I think they're going to be under a lot of pressure to start propping up the exchanges, which in many cases are down to one or no insurers around the country.
The exchanges that facilitate the Affordable Care Act. The president of Milwaukee yesterday, of course, you're right, he came out and I think yesterday, the last day or so, called the House plan, which he had celebrated, but he called it mean. But in Milwaukee, he said this is all about Democrats' obstruction.
We will come up with a solution and a really good one to health care. No matter how good it is, we will get no obstructionist Democrat votes. No matter how good it is, if it's the greatest health care plan ever devised, we will get zero votes by the obstructionists, the Democrats.
Mary Agnes Carey, that's the president's portrayal of this, but Jennifer Rubin says, look, Republicans can't agree on this. What about that? What's the fundamental divide or opposing views that make this so hard for the GOP internally? And what do we know about how that might be playing out, Mary Agnes?
Well, as Jennifer noted, there's a lot of opposition to this dramatic shift in Medicaid funding that's in the House bill, where instead of states being matched on what they spend on a percentage basis, they'd get a set amount of money. That's a problem. This idea of the ability in the House bill for states to apply for waivers to charge people more if they had a gap in their health insurance. That's a problem. You've got Republican senators Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins who have said they don't like the prohibition on Planned Parenthood funding for a year. There are just about every step of the way, there's divides within the Republican Party on how to proceed. And Jennifer made an excellent point earlier. The House bill, they just kind of passed it and moved it over to the Senate, left it on their doorstep. I think Mitch McConnell would love to just get this thing off his doorstep. So he's got to be able to get consensus. Under Senate rules called reconciliation, they do only have to get 50 votes, and Vice President Mike Pence could bring in that additional vote to break the tie. But Republicans only have 52 votes in the Senate, so they've got problems with the moderates I just mentioned. They've got some problems with the conservatives who don't want to make changes that others in their party would favor. So it's really a tough lift for Senator McConnell and the Republicans in the Senate at this point.
Let's go to Senator Susan Collins territory, Maine, Presque Isle, Maine. Isaac is calling. Hi, Isaac, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
So I just wanted to say that Senator Susan Collins is doing actually, I think, a really good job down there for the people of Maine. Anyway, we are one of the oldest states in the country. There's a lot of elderly people here that through Obamacare were, you know, paying a lot for their health coverage and different things like that. My mom is a single mom with two kids, and every year her through Obamacare, her coverage went up $100 more and things like that. So what she's doing, I know that she's a moderate, obviously, down there. Within the Republican Party, it's going to be tough to find create a bill that's going to cover everyone. And so obviously they do have to work together, and I think they can do it just because they know how Obamacare has basically.
Isaac, let us pick it up right there, if you'll permit me. And I really appreciate your call. I'll take it to my guests. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Agnes Carey. So Isaac's in Maine, Susan Collins State, and he's worried about the elderly in Maine, his own elderly mother, and what's happened to her, I guess, premiums under the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. What is likely to happen under a Republican package?
Well, what the Senate Republicans want to do is modify the House bill structure to try to make some of this financial assistance to help you buy premiums stronger for low-income people and older Americans. That's part of the problem. The current Affordable Care Act links those subsidies to help you buy health insurance, mostly to your income. And the House would really change that to sort of an age-based formula where younger folks get a smaller amount of money than someone who's older. So,
but we saw that the premiums for the elderly would go up, I thought, 3-4 times or more.
That's right.
Under the House plan.
In the House bill. So what the Senate Republicans are looking at, that they've seen the heat the House Republicans have received. They look at states with folks that perhaps don't qualify for Medicare at this point, but they're in their 50s, their early 60s. How do we help them? That's where some Senate Republicans say we've got to make those subsidies more generous. But that costs money. That can make the bill more expensive. And, for example, the House Republican plan would scrap all the taxes that are in the Affordable Care Act. And then so you might have to have a slower phase out of those taxes to have more revenue to pay for more generous subsidies in the House Republican plan. But that's where you're going to get pushback from Ted Cruz and Mike Lee and Rand Paul, all conservative Republicans that want those taxes gone.
Jennifer Rubin, in the House, Republicans could lose, you know, 20-some of their own in the vote and still get it through. In the Senate, they've got to have everybody, I guess, on board, but two, they could lose two at the most. Can they pull this off, Jennifer? Can even inside, even behind the closed doors, can they come to unanimity or nearly?
Well, the caller is very lucky. He has Susan Collins as a senator. If there were 52 Susan Collinses in the United States Senate, I have no doubt they would come up with something. These are, she is one of a handful of people who is really very conscientious, interested in compromise, understands this issue of older Americans who are not yet Medicare ready, but who have a real issue. She's very sensitive to the issue of rural Americans. Maine is a relatively rural state, and they come out the losers in the health care bill. The problem is that she's the exception, not the rule, in the Republican conference in the Senate right now. And her ability to sway people like Rand Paul, people like Mike Lee, is relatively limited. And I think the difficulty for someone like the majority leader, Mitch McConnell, who would love to get onto issues like tax reform, maybe even infrastructure, other issues that are arguably more popular, is that he's stuck dealing with this issue. And until he can get it off his desk, even if it's a vote that fails, I don't think he's going to be able to get to the rest of his agenda. And that's a problem for the Republicans. That'll be a problem for the Republicans who have to stand for election in 2018. What are they going to show to the voters? What have they accomplished? So I think he is in a real pickle here. On one hand, his group can't agree. On the other hand, until they agree, he can't get on to other things.
Mary Agnes Carey, have you counted noses? How does it look? Can McConnell pull it out? Can he, even if he can't do it by July 4th, you say it may go deeper into the summer, can he come up with a bill that his own party will agree on and be able to push through?
It's one thing about Mitch McConnell. People will tell you he is a great listener. He talks to his caucus. He's very personable. He has an excellent track record of getting his caucus to go with him. So we'll see what happens. But I think that he will be pushing very hard. And if he needs, if he can't pass it before the August break, Jennifer's right. He's going to have to make this calculation. How much time do I spend on health care? How do I get to tax reform? Which is the bigger return in the 2018 midterms? All those things are in play.
You're saying he might still pull the plug on the effort?
Who knows? I mean, I think that there may come a time where he decides, I've spent enough of time on health care. I can't get a consensus. I want to move on to tax reform. I'm not saying that's going to happen. Yep. I'm just saying it's one of the options.
Who knows? Maybe the operative phrase today is all of this going on behind very tightly closed Republican doors. Mary Agnes Carey with Kaiser Health News. Thank you very much for being with us and all your insights today, Mary Agnes. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And Jennifer Rubin at The Washington Post writes the Right Turn blog there. Jennifer Rubin, great as always to have you. Thank you for being with us today.
My pleasure, Tom.
Listeners, thanks for all your calls and comments. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.